Nerd Soul.
Woo! Late LK at one, yo. So hold it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, all year, coming with another wonderful episode of That's Right, Dope Folks. We are here with someone super cool. Of course, this is a series where we get into creators, what they're doing, artists, writers, directors, all that. And we have another special gentleman for you to meet. I introduce to you Dedrin Sneed.
Yo, howdy, y'all. And I appreciate you, Nerd Soul and Co. You know, this is always a good opportunity to link back up with you and connect. So, you know, happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah. We got, see, the last time we got together, we were talking about Sorghum and Spear. Right. So with that said, if you could give guys a look into, you know, what you do, and then give them a little bit of what Sorghum and Spear is.
Of course. Yeah, so for me, Sorghum and Spear has been my my main work here under our project brand Subsume. So Subsume and Sorghum and Spear, main thing is that it's a fantasy about young girls that beat up monsters, right? So it was my love letter to my days of playing Dungeons and Dragons in college, as well as like Avatar, Legend of Korra, and yeah, really just showcasing African fantasy. I was trying to find it and build my own D&D modules and trying to take parts of that history and build it into this character named Amazi, which is my main character. And she was basically just a level one form girl that didn't know anything about the world, and she went out to try to save it. So Sorghum and Spear is a parallel about young people growing up and being able to be in charge of like their choices and their decisions. So we tell that through this sweeping African fantasy about a last generation of girls who, if they don't save the world, then that's it. But now the charge on these kids is put to kind of revolutionize and change the way that both sides have been approaching the problem. So it's the monsters called the Ibiku, and then their people have been fighting forever in this thing called a forever war. And so the very first book, the zero book, which is Simadon, is kind of a glimpse into day of the life. And then the graphic novel I've been working on the past couple of years is for the story of what happens after that. So that's a very first run into the larger world we call the Eternal Realm.
All right, great. Now, I reviewed some of the Sorghum and Spear stuff that you have. The art is crazy. Not only is the art crazy, but the story is very engaging. It's a lot of fun. When you came up with Sorghum and Spear, what was kind of like, I guess you could say the most satisfying part of building that world, that Eternal Realm, things like that?
I think the most important part for me was, I guess, the acceptance, right? Because for Sorghum and Spear, the big thing was, you know, I had worked on some comic book properties, nothing major, just my own stuff here for the past couple of years, prior to coming out with Sorghum and Spear. I think the main thing with me was the acceptance of people, of seeing women, particularly young women of color, specifically black women, that, you know, were able to kind of be represented in fantasy in a way that they hadn't before. And, you know, it was something that young, old boys, girls, men, women, everybody was able to take to. So the character of Namazi, I feel like, was very, what's the word I'm looking for? She was... she enabled people to join the story in a way that you would hope for like a main character to bring people into fantasy. And a lot of time we hear black creatives that, you know, we're not into fantasy, or, you know, black folks don't do that. We see that a lot of time with science fiction and fantasy in particular. So for me, in the realm of looking at role-playing games and things like that, it was real important not only for the art to be at a certain level, but also like the story and the invitation for other people to learn about it. I mean, you got this genre called Sword and Soul. If we look at, you know, more contemporary people like Balogun Ojitade and Milton Davis that work in that realm, you know, or like the kind of creator of that genre, Charles Saunders with Amaro, it's been there, right? And it's the same thing that works in the same premise of Afrofuturism, like the idea of black creativity and expansion of futures and pasts that, you know, traverse, you know, the contemporary or even just the historical. That's what this whole genre is. So while it's nice to kind of get that kind of nice golden nugget with, say, a Black Panther, if you look at, you know, through his through all of our creative diaspora, you know, we've been telling these kind of stories. So for us, the imagination of what is to be, I mean, that started with our ancestors coming, you know, to this continent, you know, having a dream and develop a life in a world that they didn't see and maybe they were going to live to see, but know that it could be. And that's, in my mind, where this idea of, you know, putting ourselves in the spaces we want to be is so important.
All right. With that said, to back up some from Sorghum and Spear, mm-hmm. You have the sword and soul aspect. With your, I guess, your creative work, that doesn't just, you know, I guess, end there. You have Green County Creative.
Right.
And how does that tie into the rest of your expression as an artist? Right.
Yeah, so for Green County Creative, which now is, we're trying to do a transition into the brand here soon, but for Green County Creative, for me, has always just been trying to be in the spaces of the things that I like, whether or not that was video games, whether it's animation, comics, art, just you name it. So for me, Green County Creative has been a larger kind of network of properties and projects that I've had, trying to work in animation. You know, we had a chance through Green County Creative to do some animation for Adult Swim last year. And so We actually got a chance to make that out as our daytime vendor work. And again, it's just also us trying to make a business strategy where we can not only be in front of the screen, but behind the screen as well. So on both sides of, you know, development and creativity, not just being able to just write and develop, say, a comic book or a television show, but also work towards distribution and empowering other people in our network to be a part of us. So with that, super dope artist, Mikael Sebastian and I teamed up. We ended up doing a test pitch on a bump that we actually turned into a comic book that I'm working on with Greg Burnham now called Villains and Vinyl. So when we get a chance to work on that comic, we'll probably lead in with that animation Swim. And that's kind of what I wanted to be about. Is, you know, this show's called Dope Folks. I think we both know, you know, a series of dope folks that, is right there. And it's not from ability or capacity. It's really opportunity and sustainment of talent. You know, we as a creative Black creative community, you know, we can do this. And it's not a thing about anything but just being able to create and control our own destiny. So for me, back in some Green County Creative, is looking at these type of aspects, whether that's esports, whether that's animation, whether that's digital film and media, or education in the arts. That's been like a multifaceted, or say more multi-pronged attack to the same issue of what we're talking about. Why don't we see more of us doing the things we want to do?
Makes sense. So with that said, as you're looking towards, I'll ask this with a little bit based on kind of like what we went through or over in the rent party that you were
right. Oh yeah.
Since you're indie, and you made a big impression on me about your statement of having enough gas to get to the next tech.
Right.
In this Corona timeline.
Yeah.
What is the gas or what is the fuel to your next town, and what is that next town for you?
Right. And I think a lot of it is self-determination. I think that fuel right now is your mode of sustainability, whether or not that's one book, that's 10 books, you know, whether that's one show or one script or just making your art, finishing an art project that's been in your heart. For me, I think right now that gas is a mixture of self-care and self-preservation, particularly for Black people. Likewise, it is opportunity, because I think even within, you know, these corona-stricken times, that, you know, that we are still in need, if anything else, art's what's got us through. I mean, if you look at, say, streaming services or music services or anything like this, like, they're all at all-time highs because people are realizing and understanding and interpreting, like, we need art, right? Maybe the art person or the letter or the inker or the colorist, you know, these may not be the most glamorous parts of that world or that job, but, you know, in summation, this is the thing that is keeping civilization sane. What little sanity we got left?
Yeah. What little people
is
also helping us tell the story of what's going on, you know?
Right. You're perfect. No, that's perfect segue. And it's just the idea that we are the storytellers, right? Mm-hmm. It's the art is the, you know, it's the voice of the oppressed, right? Art is rebellion. It's retaliation. It is history, right? So if we look at some of the most poignant arts of our time, you know, it's normally done from the people being oppressed. It's never the people in power that are generating the art that sustained the times. So that's what I say, like, that's the gas, really, is knowing that the work that you're doing right now, I mean, this is a historical time, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
This is a turning point in civilization as we know it. So the idea that if you're in a space and in a place of self-care where you can create, it's not that you owe it to us, but if you owe it to yourself, then that's what I say is that's the rocket fuel right now, or the gas to get to your next stop. Sometimes the next stop is just right up the street. You just need to get something out. You just need to be heard, you know, and in the same way that we talk about that, like the Smithsonian's going around and collecting like the signs. I mean, you may have seen this, right? The Smithsonian's in Washington, D.C. is collecting the protest signs to put in curation at the Smithsonian already, like as is happening right now. So the
picture is the point.
Yeah, it's immediate. Like, this is an immediate historic imprint in the way that this world is going to go. So to that, I hope that at least is empowering, or at least the engagement's there. And, you know, I struggle with that, right? So, I mean, I have all these projects and properties, but just some days it's just not in the cards. And going back to Sorghum and Spirit particularly, I feel like I've had my best idea at probably one of the worst personal times of my life. But the idea of just getting a piece and sustaining it, just getting a little bit down the road, right? I know where I want to go with this thing. And the idea is not trying to hit a home run. It's just trying to get on base, right? That's kind of where I'm getting to it, to get to the next town. Just keep yourself in play as best you can. And if you don't, and if you can't, that's understandable. I mean, especially with what we're all going through. So that's my idea of don't try to make the whole trip in one trip, right? Just get you a piece, get you a little spot.
One step at a time and continue on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to talk about for a second a book that you have on your site. Well, it's The Art of Sorghum and Spear, which I think this is new since the last time we talked. Well, not Rent Party Talk, but the last time we talked about Sorghum and Spear. I don't know if the Art of book was there. But with that, could you speak to the art and why you looked at the art the way you did and why you decided to use the art that you did for Sorghum and Spear?
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And I may have one hanging around here. Yeah. You know, a prop, right? So we have this book called The Art of Sorghum and Spear, right? And this is kind of an addendum to not only the work that we were doing on the original book, but in the graphic novel, but it also kind of gave a point. I kind of give a kind of synopsis of some of the work that was going into as a production or a making of, or things that kind of got left on the cutting floor, as it were. But it was the fact that I've been blessed to work with like some extremely talented artists. So I knew in creating Sorghum and Spear, there was going to be a creative level that, because of our subject matter, because of who we're trying to represent, that we wanted to kind of artistically be in a certain place. And kind of the stable of artists that we've been able to attract, it was just no way to really do it justice in just my one comic book of some of the fantastic art and stories that were there. Likewise, wanting to create a world that's, you know, all of our characters, of course, for Sorghum and Spear are women, right? Women or women identified. And so from there, also on the other end, the majority of our artists and creative, and now our co-writer, which we'll announce, or let's say now, is Sarah Macklin, is, you know, we're trying to bring particularly Black women that are into the creative arts and into fantasy, trying to give a platform and a voice for them to continually work on this project. So for me to be able to bring in, you know, Nafua Richardson, Ashley Woods, and
Dope.
Yeah. I mean, and then we got Sheba Maya and Tony Taylor. And of course, you know, this is kind of underwritten and set by just the brilliant maestro Wellington Nomo, you know, that does most of our main key work. You know, he just gave us a chance to not only build a fantasy world that looks good, but also honor like the dedication and work of these of a lot of women that's been in this profession and professionally, you know, for decades, and likewise give us a chance to resonate and highlight on their work, just with their work alone, because we work really hard just to have every piece be able to tell a story and be just a significant, poignant part of the world. So it was a way of kind of making this more of a collected art gallery that somebody could get. When we go to these conventions, we have a lot of great artwork for sale. And it's the thing of, you know, like looking at your backdrop, you know, we got fantastic work across, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, wall space can be, you know, when you're traveling, wall space can be a commodity. So we say, well, okay, we'll put it together and give everybody a chance to really be able to see the story. And then it'll fit well into the graphic novel once we get that set up.
Great. I guess we've kind of like crossed a lot of what you've been into, what you've been working with, Green County Creative, Sorghum and Spear. Mm-hmm. Are there certain stories that maybe you can talk about that you haven't told yet that you'd like to tell? Or are we getting into like security clearance area with that question?
No. You got access today, man. It's okay. You know, I do, people that know me know I hoard stuff. I'm a hoarder. I guess that goes with toy collecting, things like that. So, like, I hoard projects until the absolute last second, but I'd be down to drop an exclusive here for you. Let's see. Right now, my thing for June was Juneteenth 2020 to, like, let go of, like, 3 or 4 projects that I've been working on in the background. So, of course, our first opportunity is a work called Soul Nebula. So we've got a afterfuture space opera that myself and Robert Jeffrey II, Route 3, Dope Dude with R133 Art. He's got, you know, he's also editor-in-chief of I Am Black Sci-Fi. So me, him, and I have been, and a collection of people are been working on this space opera that's basically about the Reconstruction era in space. So it's the idea that the colonialism of the first world or of the Earth basically takes place 400 years into the future. And what happens is they make a mess of it and want to return home. But the home that they leave behind is basically left to people of color. And so it's a world without oppression. And now these people that have went out are trying to come back to the Earth. But in the meantime, obviously there's, you know, it's kind of.
I really want to read that.
Yeah, so, you know, thankfully we'll have that. We've been working on that probably about the past 6-8 months. So we actually have a fair amount of the book done. So we'll get a chance to drop that as one of our books. Cool. It's been called Soul Nebula. So we're excited about that. It's, you know, very apropos. So what's going on now? Let's see, we've got another book called Armidus that is actually an application that we'll be able to kind of share a little bit about. But it's about two young kids, basically two kids learning how to use STEM to escape from this, from some entity in space that is controlling this space station. And so it's a little bit of, what is it? Let's make it apropos to Nerd Soul. So it is, it's a cross between Lost in Space and Attack the Block. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but it's got got two young kids that are using their science skills to try to figure out how to get out of this space station. But we actually have an AR-enabled app that we've been developing that'll be part of that. And basically just trying to showcase, likewise, let's assume that we do have a little bit of technical acumen. In another life, I used to be in IT, and so I can build a few things, but we've been partnered with a business here that's going to help us build that out. And so what I want to build is this AR-enabled app that basically helps kids learn STEM, but tells a fun story at the same time. So those, and again, Villains in Vinyl is probably our third thing with Greg Burnham, half of Tuskegee Airs fame.
Nice.
Trisha Sadaka. So we've been working on this book about golden age of hip hop in the future. And that again is a good play off of some animation work we did. That we expect to be able to drop these as 3 books that hopefully I've been trying to work on, get within a year on top of that sort of graphic novel.
Kind of sweet.
Yeah. So we've been sitting on some stuff, but at the same to kind of be able to tell some additional stories, especially like right now, I think is really important. So this is kind of the gas I've been saving to get to a couple of towns, right? So nice. I'm excited to be able to kind of partner with some real fantastic creators and look for us as a brand of Subsume to kind of have a couple of things more to talk about. And then Sorghum Spirits got some announcements too. We just got to, that might be more of the Area 51. We just got to hold on see that the real world becomes real again. But again, at the same time, I think I share on our podcast it's had its ups and downs for sure. But the good thing is, I'm hoping to drop another batch of artwork and stuff to all our backers, kind of give a nice proof of life of a book that, just like me, has survived. As in, it is, we feel like it's going to be something special. So, looking forward to that.
Nice. Well, yo, thanks for dropping that. Of course, thanks for coming through. And when those projects come out, holla at me. I can't wait to see them. But with that said, before we get out of here, let the wonderful people know where they can find you and pick up some copies and some art from Sorghum and Spear.
Oh, word. I appreciate that. Yeah, so right now you can, for Sorghum and Spear, main website, sorghumandspear.com. For me, you can find me mainly on Facebook at Dedrin Sneed. Instagram, I just switched that to my name, Dedrin Sneed. And for Subsume, right now, we've just been working through our subsumeatl.com website. But we'll have a site drop for that here in the next day or so for a new launch of our platform and site from there. So again, I'll definitely dish that out to you. And likewise, you'll be first on those exclusives, man. Don't worry about
that. That's what's up. Well, yeah. With that said, thank you for coming through. Of course, guys, NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all in places. Podcast, if you want to listen, got Spotify Music. But right here, YouTube is the main hub. Check out Dedrin Sneed. Check out the work. He's got tons of cool stuff coming. Great cat. And Sorghum and Spear, man. It's a fun read. And the art is out of this world. So, until next time, we're saying thank you for coming through. You ready to go? All right. So, from us to you, we're just saying peace.
Peace. All right, y'all. Thanks so much.